The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning to everybody on this Wednesday, the 16th day of September. Great to have you here. Phone lines ready for your consumption, 866-660-5759. What really gets consumed is your opinions around here as you consume mine, for which I am enormously grateful. Got a few things to share with you about the debates, which are now less than 2 weeks away, presumably. Assuming they happen, our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher, whom we will speak with as per the norm at about 7:35. I think Mike is still leaning toward they won't happen. Biden will find some way to get out of the debates because he and his people simply must know that it's going to be disastrous. My abiding belief is that just as Joe, fueled by the immediacy of the moment and adrenaline, or, you know, who knows what else, managed to make it through the Democrat National Convention speech. But what was that, 20-some minutes? This is an hour and a half. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. President Trump, for his part, had a town hall, air quotes, town hall, with something called the Constitution Center, a kind of a theater in the semi-round in Philadelphia, hosted by ABC, a network that hates his guts, anchor George Stephanopoulos, who also hates his guts. They managed to keep that mostly shelved for last night, but they chose questioners intriguingly, and I've got a little example of that. Let us dive right in, and in fact, let us augment our prayer let us begin in the following way with something particularly topical. Lord, we ask you this morning, we'll get to the wisdom and the goodwill part, but as Hurricane Sally approaches the Gulf Coast of the United States, there where Alabama meets Florida, Lord, watch over those folks and the people in the path of Sally. Keep them safe and in your loving care. Thank you, Lord, for watching over them as we pay attention to that part of our country this morning. And God, we ask you for wisdom and goodwill, as we do each morning, the wisdom to navigate our problems from COVID-19 to various types of social strife, to fill us with the energy to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives in the virus era. We're going to have on the show today some stories about as COVID seems to be getting better in many places in many ways. There are a lot of districts looking at starting in-person school. Lord, be with us, with the teachers, with the parents, and with the students so that this can happen safely and responsibly. Help us to lift up those whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. Help us find smart solutions to all of our social problems of the day, even as troublemakers seek to divide us. Amid those divisions, let us treat each other with respect and patience as we work together to change what should be changed, but to resist those who would opportunistically sweep away huge portions of our history and our culture. Remind us, Almighty God, that in the most challenging of times, you are there to unite us, to follow your guidance, to show us how to treat each other as we would like to be treated. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. You know, I was talking to somebody about the prayer. I am so incredibly moved that it means so much to so many people. What's that, a minute of fraction? Like, I don't have a minute of fraction to talk to God and to call together those who seek to do so. It's obviously not mandatory. And he said that as the tagline there, that we can get through anything. The reminder there is not just about a country getting through COVID, a country getting through rioting and social strife, but also about individuals, because here in this crazy COVID-soaked time, it's not like normal problems have gone away. People still have kid problems, marital problems, drug problems, economic. Well, that, I mean, economic probably is COVID-related, but thoroughly unrelated things at a time when it seems like everything is instantly related to the virus. This is something I started doing when I came back from vacation there on that 11th day of March on a Thursday in the middle of a week because everything was just going crazy. And as we cracked the mic on that morning, I said, listen, let's, before we dive into anything, this is so weird and so foreign and so strange and so scary. Before I do anything, let's have a word with God. And in the weeks and now months that have passed since, I've hoped that it's a reminder that whether it's something virus related or just something going on in your life, something going on in your family, something going on at your job, something going on with a friend, that last sentence really, really is true. That in following the guidance that God Himself provides, you really can get through anything. And it doesn't mean that the result is always going to go the way you want or that what you pray for is actually going to happen. And you'd be, well, if it didn't come out the way that I wanted, then the prayer must not work. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. The mysteries are vast. Prayer puts you in the mind of God, and that's always time well spent. So, and it just, it helps you appreciate and understand as best we can with our little human pea brains, the biggest picture of all. And that is that here we are in this life with so many mysteries and so many things we don't understand. Maybe you've had somebody die of this virus. Maybe, you know, you've got, you know, rental property in Orange Beach, Alabama, that's being, you know, reduced to toothpicks as we speak. Even though you prayed for that house to live, it didn't, you know, so God must not be listening. No, 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 no. Don't ever fall into that trap. Sometimes, I guess one of the best explanations was that when you are asking for something to change in your life, and maybe it doesn't change, maybe that's God looking to change you in some way or make clear something to you or bring you some type of gratitude or some type of action or some type of attitude. So not to you know, bog down on all that, but it's just I do that every morning. I want you to know that it's not routine. Or it's habitual, but that as we talk about all these virus related things and things that we started praying for and praying about, it is with the full realization that as you're driving around, walking around, whatever you're doing, there may be all kinds of things going on in your life. And that last sentence is true for everybody. If we follow you, Lord, we can get through anything. So sorry, a little moment of introspection and sharing there. 866-660-5759. All right. So the world thinks, except for people in the Biden campaign and maybe, you know, particularly loyal Democrats, that this debate on the 29th, now 13 days away, it is Tuesday of week after next, that it's just going to be an embarrassment. That and I've listened to the same excerpts that you do. Hugh Hewitt is particularly fond. Here's the latest Joe meltdown, Joe mishap, Joe weird moment. And yeah, they're bad. And Mike has talked to us and probably will, you know, again today about just how bless his heart, how feeble the former vice president seems to be. It doesn't seem that he is up for the rigors of campaigning. And if that's the case, can he remotely be up for the rigors of the presidency? And so maybe one of my questions for you today is this your expectation that it's just going to be humiliating for the vice president? And if it gets bad, I hope not. I want to win on the strength of ideas, not because Joe Biden is about to die. I want Trump to win a second term because he's the better candidate, his agenda is better than the Biden agenda, not because he's the only person on the stage who appears to have a pulse. You know, I want Joe Biden to live a long and healthy and happy life out of public office, and I want nothing but good things for him personally. Now, politically, And in terms of how debate night might go, I got to tell you, if it's as bad as some folks are expecting, you then run the risk of a kind of a law of diminishing returns, where it's like you're kicking an old man, and that's not a good look. So, as I've shared a few times, that I still have this abiding, nagging thought that he's going to exceed expectations, which is almost mathematically impossible not to do with expectations so very, very low, that I think there will be debates and that he will do okay. Now, what's the definition of okay? Completing sentences in the English language, keeping his eyes open during downtime. I mean, I think that it will be, it's not going to be an incredible, I remember the DNC speech. You remember when he actually made it through the 22-minute speech? And didn't just make it through. He made it through coherently, somewhat spiritedly. And people went, oh, there you go. Oh, he's back. Well, that's one night for 22 minutes reading off a prompter. Ain't going to be no prompter at the debates. And it's going to be longer than 22 minutes. And another thing that wasn't the case at the DNC speech is you didn't have President Trump breathing down your neck. Well, figuratively, certainly won't be happening literally, with distancing. And it's just going to be wholly different. And I've referred to this as a kind of a 51-49 belief, just ever so slightly tipping toward the notion that Joe will exceed expectations. Part of that is just because the expectations are so very, very low. And I think that on the evening of the 29th and the shows we're doing the following morning, I guess that'll be 2 weeks from today, the morning after the debates, we'll say, wow, what do you know? Old Joe actually managed to answer some questions and, et cetera, et cetera. And I really do hope that it's an opportunity to compare ideas and agendas, because Joe gives us a whole lot before we even get to his health and his marbles and his lucidity. He gives us a lot to run on. The Joe agenda is the radical left agenda. There's no longer any real wiggle room, no daylight between them. In fact, the things that Joe Biden had going for him are gone. The two main things. One is that he was a fairly energetic purveyor of ideas and a fairly skilled communicator. That's seems to have evaporated. And the other is that he's just kind of a working class, affable, likable, Amtrak riding Delaware guy. And he's mortgaged that as well. He has totally mortgaged that, because he has put himself in the hands of campaign handlers who have decided to send him out to say some of the same cruel, mean, baseless, bitter, malicious things that any Democrat, that a Schumer, a Pelosi, an AOC would say. So I'm gonna take the first pause. Speaking of Nancy Pelosi, I get a couple of pieces of audio as we kick off. One was the very first question out of the box at the Trump town hall last night, and the other is did you hear about a major figure on a major cable network calling Nancy Pelosi crazy Nancy to her face during an interview? How did that go? How and why did that happen? I don't know. I'll play it for you next. 866-660-5759. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis. That's like another whole show taking place alongside this one. And it is Wednesday, and we are glad you are here. 720 on 660 AM The Answer.
You act like you don't want to listen when I'm talking to you. You think you ought to do, baby.
It is B.B. King's birthday, kids. Born 95 years ago today, B.B. King passed away about 5 years ago. But I tell you what,
as long as I'm paying the bill, woman, I'm paying the cost to be the boss.
Paying the cost to be the boss.
I'll drink it. if I wanna.
All righty. It's B.B. King's birthday, so there'll be some selections in there amid today's bumper music library. B.B. King, born 95 years ago today. All right, so maybe you heard about this but hadn't heard it. The cable TV personality in question is Jim Cramer on CNBC. And maybe you heard, did you hear Jim Cramer call Nancy Pelosi Crazy Nancy to her face in a live segment? It's like, what? And then he just throws in a Crazy Nancy and then immediately seizes up, tries to backtrack from it and suggest that it's essentially that he was channeling Trump, that it's like Trump's fault that he did this. It was surreal, and it was about 15 seconds. And here it is.
I mean, what deal can we have, Crazy Nancy? I'm sorry, that was the president. I have such reverence for the office, I would never use that term. But it is
but
hard,
you just did.
Isn't it?
What? So he says it, blurts it out, and then recoils and says, I'm sorry, that was the president. Like what, taking over your brain and your mouth at the same time? Very, very strange. All right, last night in the President and the People called a 2020 special event, there were, and this was the billing was, they were undecided voters. Sure they were. And listen, I don't want to go full conspiratorial on you, but George Stephanopoulos said we have some people here in the audience, an incredibly small audience and in a fairly intimate setting under normal circumstances, but it looks like there are about 15, 20 people in there. He said some of them voted for you in 2016, some did not, and some are undecided. All right, so first, if you're going to get somebody screened for this event who actually did vote for the president in 2016, find it some. Let's make sure that it's somebody who'd gone south on him since.
I'm conservative, pro-life, and diabetic. I've had to dodge people who don't care about social distancing and wearing face masks. I thought you were doing a good job with the pandemic response until about May 1st. Then you took your foot off the gas pedal. Why did you throw vulnerable people like me under the bus?
Oh, yeah, there's a Trump voter. Did this? Yeah, please show me where this guy voted for him in 2016.
Well, we really didn't, Paul. We've worked very hard on the pandemic. We've worked very hard. It came off from China. They should have never let it happen. And if you look at what we've done with ventilators and now, frankly, with vaccines, we're very close to having a vaccine. If you want to know the truth, the previous administration would have taken perhaps years to have a vaccine because of the FDA and all the approvals. And we're within weeks of getting it. You know, it could be 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but we think we have it. Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, we have great companies, and they're very, very close. It's been very, it's a terrible thing. But if you look at, as an example, are you from New York? Are you from, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from New York. I've lived in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania for 18 and a half years. It's the longest place I've ever lived.
Well, that's very good. It's a good place.
Yes, yes, it is. So it started awkward and then went in some other very interesting places. Why did you throw people like me under the bus? If you announce an intent to ask a question like that, you will indeed get a seat at the ABC President and the People Town Hall. So how did the rest of that go? Got some excerpts on that. And how's it going to go as we say hi to our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher? That's next. Mark Davis, News Now with Gordon Griffin, 7:31.
Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo.
You know, Mike, if I had the talent of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation.
Nothing awkward about that moment.
Oh, my goodness. At least I'm playing it through a $50,000 audio board and not my... my iPhone.
Your flip phone. Your flip phone. Your jitterbug. I got my jitterbug flip phone. Look at me, Hispanics. I'm hip.
Oh,
incidentally,
my
have
goodness.
You looked up? Do you know the lyrics to Despacito?
Well, Despacito means slowly, which for slow Joe is probably. For those that don't know, Joe had an event, at least what passes for one, and it was right there in the area from which Mike joins us at a Hispanic Heritage Month event, and walks out and throws down a little Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee doing Despacito.
Playing it over his cell phone, he says, I have an announcement to make. And he whips out his phone and holds the phone up. So you get this crackly version of Despacito. And you're right. It does mean slowly, which is a great metaphor for this poor guy's campaign. But more importantly, this is a family show. It's Morning Drive in Dallas-Fort Worth. The slowly it refers to isn't exactly talking about a choo-choo train, you know what I mean.
It's the pacing that one might wish during,
certain act.
I know.
Yes. It's the wrong thing on it. It checks every box. But seriously, Mark, if you watch him closely, and I did yesterday, you know, he was here. He made a couple of stops. He gave a 12-minute speech to about 9 people in their little circles. One of the speeches was through the muffle of his mask.
Of course.
He didn't take the mask off. I thought, well, this is a first. You're holding the microphone up to the mask, which sometimes reporters will do too, which just, you know,
I just really have one thing that I want to say.
Was this the speech where he referred to American troops having died in Iran and Afghanistan?
Yes. Was a big day too, where he called it the Harris-Biden ticket.
Had another one of those.
And Kamala Harris did that a week or two ago too.
Yep.
So
the Harris administration with Joe Biden,
right? Don't think now. You don't
Freudian,
think that's on
Freudian slip.
But here's the thing, though: if you watch him closely,
yep.
This is a guy where you truly, and all politics aside, and I know I'm biased, and I've got a lot of strong opinions about what I hope will happen November 3rd. This is not a guy who's ready for this job.
It's
just not. Mark, he's an old man. He has this gait where he walks up to the podium very tentatively. And listen, I'm going to be very transparent here. I think 2020 has aged all of us. I mean, this is a tough, tough year for everybody. Everybody has had emotional strife. I fight with it. Look at why I'm bringing you on the show today at 10:05 to continue the self-flagellation over my stupidity in admitting that I watched 15 or 20 minutes of the NFL over the weekend.
I live to serve.
I didn't use the Mark Davis rule, and I changed midstream, thank goodness, when listeners started, you know, torching me Monday, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to bring you back on the show, on my show.
That's
for
very
a change.
Cool. Look
you
forward
know,
to that.
And so 10:05 today, you're going to join us and talk a little bit about the Mark rule, about if one knee hits the turf,
switch,
you're done. You're
click.
Out.
Click.
Click.
You know, about Joe, it's funny because when we talk about Joe and his age, people think, well, you shouldn't be talking about people's age. There are people listening who are 77, might be healthy as a horse and more lucid than you and I. Well, I absolutely know that. And I'm trying to remember whether it was Hewitt or somebody else who said that it's not just about the calendar, that he had a father-in-law or something who was like 94, but he was a very young 94, right? You know what I mean? And Joe Biden is just a very old 77. You know,
he's not a young. Now, Trump is a young 70, whatever he is. I mean,
74.
Yesterday.
Five,
right? Four, 75.
Four, 74,
I mean, yesterday.
Right.
Four events. I mean, here he is signing the peace accord, which Nancy Pelosi referred to as a distraction just from COVID, because we're all still dropping dead from COVID, apparently, in the streets of America. He's in four different places yesterday, and Biden can barely get to Florida and do a 12-minute speech. And lumber back on the plane and go and play Despacito and then go back to the bunker, the basement in Wilmington. It's the strangest thing. And I'm not kidding you. When they slip and say the Harris-Biden or the Harris administration, that's there's a reason for that. You don't make that mistake unless that's ingrained in your mind that he's not going to make it through the full four years, that he steps aside, he resigns, he just says it's whatever. If you watch him closely, and I mean closely, you'll see what I mean.
It's evident every day, and it's what fuels your very plausible thought that they simply have to find a way to get him off that debate stage, out of that. And I guess one of the things that keeps me from joining you full-throatedly on that is that I don't know how they do it. They can't throw down some stupid condition like, I won't debate unless Trump releases his taxes or whatever. It certainly can't be something health-related. Oh, Joe had an aneurysm. He can't debate. Oh, that helps your campaign. So how do you possibly see an exit ramp for Joe? How do we get to the point where he's not on a debate stage?
I think it's simple. Look at what Pelosi did when asked about the significance of the Abraham Accords. A big peace deal. The first time Israel has seen this kind of peace agreement in 26 years. I mean, listen, they should be draping Trump in Nobel Peace Prizes. You know, forget one. He needs a few of them. But her initial knee-jerk instinctive response was, it's a distraction at a time when we're struggling with COVID and people are dying and sick from COVID. COVID, that's going to be the answer. They're going to say, and listen, there's precedent for this. Politico has a huge piece this week about Biden in the bubble and how careful they are. And they need to be. I get it. He's 77 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't want him to get it. Heaven forbid either of these guys get COVID. I worry about President Trump all the time. He's in crowds. He's near people. And I'm enough of a big fat baby that I worry about anybody getting. You know, I think I convinced myself on COVID, this isn't quite so bad. 372 people in America died yesterday from COVID in a country of 350 million people. You know what? I can guarantee you many more of that amount died from cancer, from diabetes, from car wrecks. That's the official number from Johns Hopkins, Mark, 372 people. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this video from a woman, I think in El Paso, 40-something-year-old Hispanic mom, who did a farewell video from her hospital bed.
Oh, my.
And saying, this is real. Please don't. I didn't take this seriously enough. You've got to wear your mask. It was a Facebook Live video she did. Apparently, this happened a month or two ago. I think it was in July. It was featured on the Today Show, the family. I mean, she died after making the video. And I'm thinking, this poor woman. I'm not going to lie to you, Mark. I'm in bed last night watching this video. It scared the hell out of me. I thought, that's terrible. This beautiful young mom and wife, full of life and vibrancy, and she's in a hospital bed saying, please, everyone, take this seriously, da-da-da-da. And, you know, they claimed she had no
underlying conditions.
Underlying conditions. Mm-hmm. She was heavy. She was kind of a heavy woman. But other than that, and, you know, you see that and you realize, I don't want that to happen to anybody, Mark.
Exactly. And there's those are not mutually exclusive feelings. They're both thoroughly natural. There's a sort of a microcosmic and a macrocosmic way of looking at it. The macro is, that, as we say every day, it is getting better. The situation does appear.
A lot better.
A resolution appears to be at hand somewhere on the horizon. We don't know how near or how far. But as it gets better, there will always be individual chapters of life, individual people whose lives have been shattered by the loss of a loved one, or whose lives have been lost, like this wonderful lady, and it's possible to sort of walk and chew gum at the same time,
and use those.
You don't have to like pick one.
No, it's not one or the other, and yet I do think it's important. There are people who do believe this is a hoax, and we got to be careful. And listen, I don't want to stifle opinion or speech. But, you know, you see some of these crazy videos of confrontations in stores, you know, with people not wearing a mask and all that. And one of the women I saw on one of those videos yesterday in some grocery store somewhere, and she's screaming, this is all a hoax. Nobody has. And the guy's like, I don't want you to get sick, lady. Put a mask on. She said, nobody is sick. Nobody is sick from COVID.
And not see, helpful.
That's not helpful. And yet there are people who feel that way. And we have to know that. And we just have to acknowledge it. And that's why the video of the woman saying goodbye is important.
Absolutely.
This is not a hoax.
Absolutely.
It is a real virus. Hopefully with God's grace and as you pray every morning to start your show, we can get through this and we will get through this.
We can.
Yesterday,
good.
I'm sorry. Another officer shot, drive-by shooting yesterday, guarding the Sandra Day O'Connor Federal Courthouse in downtown Phoenix. Apparently, another law enforcement officer targeted for a random ambush. I saw a piece by Heather McDonald, who's so smart,
love her,
so good.
Mm-hmm.
I do too. She wrote a piece for the New York Post. protesters are obviously demanding that cops let themselves be stabbed or shot. I mean, that's the conclusion.
That's the plan.
Because she said the plan has to be, she said the response is clear. They must be saying that a police officer must feel that he or she has to get shot or stabbed first before they react. And almost on cue, I was reading about the Houston area. A Harris County grand jury has indicted Officer Juan De La Cruz on a charge of first-degree aggravated assault by a public servant. I want to tell you about this Baytown, Texas police officer, Mark. Happened May 13th, 2019. According to investigators, I'm reading here from, this is not from KPRC.
Yep.
All right, listen to the details. So I'm thinking, okay, another shooting, a woman, you know, shot and killed by a cop. Here's what KPRC reports out of Houston. According to investigators, Officer De La Cruz encountered Turner, this Pamela Turner, 44, while on patrol and knew she had multiple warrants out for her arrest. The woman, Turner, resisted arrest and was able to get a hold of De La Cruz's taser and shock him with it.
Yep.
That was when Officer De La Cruz fired, killing Turner. Now, they're charging him with a crime.
That's right.
He might go to jail for grappling with a suspect with warrants who stole his taser and shot him with the taser. He fires, and now the Harris County District Attorney, Kim Ogg, said, ultimately, we presented all the evidence to a grand jury that determined the Baytown police officer should be charged with a crime for his actions when he shot Ms. Turner. Now, Mark, Heather McDonald is 100% correct. That grand jury must think the officer should have been shot dead. There's no other acceptable outcome. What do they want an officer to do, Mark? Seriously, not rhetorically. What do they want a police officer who's being charged with a knife like the guy the other day in Lancaster, Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. What do they want him to do? Just get stabbed?
Yes.
How many times is the person allowed to stab him?
The short answer is yes. In asking the question, the answer follows naturally and directly. There's no such thing as a justified shooting. There's no such thing as self-defense. We're in an era where the Michael Brown hands up, don't shoot lie still has traction in an inattentive country. So that's where we are. And we will never get to racial healing. We'll never get to solutions about policing until we can stop the craziness, until we can have people working from the same list of facts.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. Yeah. That's where we are right now in this topsy-turvy, right is wrong world. I didn't even know the details of Breonna Taylor. Did you realize that her boyfriend was shooting at the police officers and actually, P.S., shot a cop, shot one of the officers? Did you know that?
Yep.
I didn't even know that. I thought ABC was right when they said the police broke down her door
just for
and
no
shot
reason.
A woman sleeping in her bed.
Because that's all they wanted.
Gunned her down. That's their phrase. Gunned her down. No, it was a shootout. Now, you can get into the whole thing about no-knock warrants.
Oh, yeah, questions still exist about that case.
Of course.
But we've been lied to about it, and it's on purpose. It's agenda-driven.
It's a deliberate lie. Watch ABC night before last, where Breonna Taylor, they said, was gunned down while sleeping in her bed by a police officer. That isn't anything close to what happened. That isn't even within a million miles of what happened. They had a warrant. They suspected her ex-boyfriend of and he was a convicted drug dealer. They broke down the door. They were in their home. And maybe her current boyfriend, who fired at the police, was only trying to defend his property and didn't know who they were. Maybe. I get. That's fine. Please don't say they just broke down the door and shot a woman in her bed. Because that isn't what happened. She got caught in the middle of a gunfight between the cops and the guy firing at them. I didn't. Mark, I didn't even know that. And I'm paid to know these things.
And you can't, and welcome to a country where we cannot count on the media culture that is supposed to shoot straight with us, no pun intended, that is supposed to share stories in full so that the country can understand them. It is proceed with caution at every turn and all that. And that's part
They're
of
such the, liars. They're yeah, such liars. So, you know, it's just, sick.
So here we are. You still like our chances? I like our chances very much.
Where's my Desposito here? I need a little to go out with a little Desposito.
It's Louis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee.
What's his name? Louis Fonsi?
Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee, Despacito.
I got to play. There we go. Man. Yeah.
Get about 30, 40 Goodbye. Seconds in there. Right?
Adios.
Gracias, Miguel. Adios. Thank you.
Please vote for me, Hispanics. Adioso. Look at me with my cool music. Adioso. Goodbye.
It's Cultural Appropriation Wednesday on the Mike Gallagher Show. We'll be listening, and I'll be joining you right at 10.
I'll see you at
10:05.
Can't wait to have you on the
Looking
show.
Looking forward to it. That's Mike Gallagher today at 10. Look out for that first guest. It's very dicey. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Ask my baby for a nickel. And she gave me a $20 bill.
This is 39-year-old B.B. King at the Regal Theater in Chicago in 1964 doing a little Sweet Little Angel.
And she gave me
B.B. King, born 95 years ago today in Berclair, Mississippi. So you're going to catch some B.B. King amid today's bumper music library. All right, let's cruise into the next hour, take some calls, talk some topics, see what's going on. Grab a line. What you want to talk about? 866-660-5759. I got stuff. You got stuff. Let's put it together next on 660 AM The Answer.